Amen.
All right, we're here at Romans chapter 4. We've been teaching on training for reigning, and we have now come quite a distance, and we're coming somewhat to the end of this particular series. And Romans chapter 4, we started talking about seeing the invisible. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, to not only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I ask you to underline faith of Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God in heaven. All right, we were having our discussion together, and talking about seeing the invisible. And that we can see something that other folk cannot see. And that this that we can see that they cannot see, we call it revelation. And restoration begins with revelation. And what is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. Little revelation, little restoration. A lot of revelation, a lot of manifestation or restoration. Now we're saying here that sometimes people come to no hope. That means they come down to nothing. And that we said that if you can take Job chapter 14, verse 7, and just pour a little bit of the word in that situation, that hope will come alive. That revelation is what sets the pace for restoration. That the thing that is revealed to you restores our hope. Now, we said that the way God made us, we have to get back to. And God made us in his image and after his likeness. He made us to operate just like himself, to function just like him. And so we see glimpses of this as we've been reading here, but now we want to kind of put some legs and arms on that, so we'll understand what we're talking about here. Now, what we said is we went back and said that there are things that you and I can see that others can't see. Let's go back first. We went to Genesis in chapter 13. Back in Genesis chapter 13, he says in verse 14, now this is after Lot had separated from Abram. Now, Lot and Abram got into strife. And one of the reasons they got into strife is because God never told Abram to take Lot. It's amazing how we try to bring folk with us that God didn't tell us to bring. And I think it's in Isaiah chapter 51, and verse 2, it says, for I called him Abraham alone and blessed him. I called him alone. That God's going to treat you the same way that he treated Abraham. And he called him alone, meaning that there are places you can't take anybody else. You know, you're going to have to let go, baby sister. You're going to have to let go, big mama. And you're going to have to go in there yourself. Pook and them can't tell you what's happening in there with you and God, because God wants a relationship with you. God only has kids. He has no grandkids. So every one of us is reporting directly to God. Say amen to that. Now, he says over here, because strife was now in the camp, and he had to separate from Lot. And he's verse 14 of chapter 13 of Genesis. He said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. Now, I want you to get that. He said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. He said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. You got what I'm saying? I'm saying in strife, you can't even hear the Lord. You're trying to figure out what God is saying. Maybe you need to get out of that strife. I have no strife in my home. None. Not one ounce, one iota, whatever. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I know the danger of strife. One man said it like this. Strife is like dropping a rattlesnake in a baby crib. It's a terrible, one of the most terrible things, because strife is a spirit. He said, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So what is he telling him? He is saying, until you can see it, you are not entitled to it. Until you can see the promises, you're not entitled to them. Now let's go over here and look at Joshua. And Joshua chapter 6, please. As you remember, Joshua took over from a man named Moses. Moses was a powerful leader for God. Somebody said, well, you know, Moses, he never really made it into the promised land and so forth and so on. Right, I understand that. But the time that Jesus took the three disciples up on the mount, the three that appeared to them, one of them was Moses, and so forth, or the two that appeared. My point to you is Moses was a great man of God. And here's Joshua trying to fill some pretty big shoes here he's coming into. But look what God tells Joshua here in verse 1 in chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, Lord have mercy, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now I want you to see something here. He told him, see. Now what does Jericho represent? The first battle that Joshua has to have before taking the promised land. It's called Jericho. And now he tells him to see. I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now Jericho is part of the promised land, or part of the promise. So what I said to you is that God, until you can see it, you're not entitled to get it, no matter what that promise is. Now, as we look at this, let's kind of drop down and see what God is talking about. He is saying, now, whatever is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. Whatever is revealed to you, it's what's going to be restored to you. Now, as we continue on looking at this, I put some notes down here to myself. I want to really get you to a place where you can see something that other folk can't see. And I'd like you to turn with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter is always about a book of Revelation. And you got 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2, 3 John. So 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter, pardon me. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now notice what he said. This inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. That means it's out of the reach of change or decay. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Who is you? You, right. Me. So here's an inheritance that is reserved for me. Now, he's not talking about the rewards that we get when we leave this earth. We're talking about an inheritance that's reserved. It's unreserved. Now, it's for you. So everything that you and I would need in this earth as we sojourn through this earth, God has already reserved an inheritance for us. And these things are already reserved for us. Now let's see how many things. Let's go over to 2 Peter. That's right next door to 1 Peter. And look at verse 2, for chapter 1. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the what? Through the what? The knowledge of him. Now, according as his divine power hath given. Now, when I say hath given, what does that mean? All right? It means the action is already completed. This is past tense. And he says, has given to us how many things? All things. According that pertain to what? Life, keep going, and godliness. Do your car tires pertain to life? Amen. And godliness, because you got to get to church. Does the roof on your house pertain to life? Come on now. I'm talking about everything. Does your health pertain to life? Does your kids' tuition pertain to your life? So everything that you and I would need, God hath already given to us. So you don't have to beg God for anything. He has already given it to you. I preach on Wednesday nights on a series of faith that takes, not the faith that waits. Because you're not taking it from God. He's already given it to you. What you're taking it is from the enemy that's sitting on it. He's trying to con you out of your inheritance. And your inheritance is that you be healed. Your inheritance is that you be delivered of them cigarettes. And other things. Your inheritance. This is your inheritance. You don't have to beg God for it. He's already given it to you. That's like me giving you something. You said, Pastor, could you give me that? I said, I just gave it to you. Oh, Pastor, praise the Lord. Could you give me that? I just gave it to you. If he just gave it to you, why would he want to give it to you again? So only thing you have to do is receive. Glory to God. But what we found out is that everything in the kingdom is first spiritual. So to receive it, you got to receive it spiritually. Say amen to this. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Ooh, I feel Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me know when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. That's not loud enough. Say praise the Lord. Look at verse 50. Now this I say, 50, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit, come on, the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So what is he saying here? What is he saying here? Flesh and blood can't get this. Flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? See, you're born again. So for you to receive this, you can't receive it with your flesh. Because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. You're going to have to receive it how? In your spirit. Now let me ask you, when you receive something in your spirit, do you feel it? Nope. Don't feel it. Don't feel it at all. I can't feel it. The only thing I know is I believe I receive. Now this is where we're going to have to operate if we're going to defeat the devil. Because we don't fight the devil, we fight the good fight of faith. Faith defeats the devil. And faith is not a feeling. So we cannot get our inheritance here with a feeling. Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. Now, once you're dealing with faith, no longer are you dealing with time. Once you're dealing with faith, no longer are you dealing with time. Because faith has no time. Come on, say it with me. Faith has no time. One more time. Faith has no time. One more time. Faith has no time. God never intended for you to have to submit to the normal progression of time. Why? Because He's taking you back to the garden. He's restoring to you the years that the cankerworm had taken away. You see, God has no time. And He's made you like Him so that you can have no time. So faith was given to you to supersede time. And the devil's job is he needs the element of time to make his system function. That if he ever doesn't have time, then his system won't function. So he does not want you to say something that you can't see yet. He wants you to talk time. I'm gonna be healed. That's not in the Bible. He said, by His stripe. Now, my point to you is we're gonna have to get out of from under time and get over time. Lord have mercy. I feel like preaching this thing here for some reason. We're going to have to go to a place where we're going to operate on the same level as the Father. And that's where the enemy does not want you to go. He said, Abram, now this is the way I'm going to change your life. I want you to change your mouth. I want you to do something. I want you to call things that be not as though they were. Now, instead of saying, I'm going to be a father of a multitude, I don't want you to say that, Abram. I want you to say, I am a father of a multitude. Didn't he say that? And so now he's got to walk around and say, no longer is my name Abram, but my name now is Abraham. I'm a father of a multitude. Now people go, oh Lord, this old man, he done gone crazy now. Now, but you got to let them say what they want to say. Lord have mercy. See, he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels. I'm only saying here that God has got to turn our thinking, because what's revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. And you don't get it revealed to you unless you're willing to say what He said. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, let's go somewhere. Now, this is where most of the church hasn't gone, because we've still been carnal. The more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. Got it? Flesh depends on the world. It depends on what the world thinks about them. It's always performing for the world. If you keep doing that, you'll find that the center of your thought is not God. And what you got to do is you got to come back to God. You got to let Him take preeminence over your life. Did you just follow that? You've got to let Him. I was telling some people, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are bought with a price. That your body is not your own. Well, if it's not your own, why are you putting a tattoo on there? Now, I'm just asking a question. Did you ask God about that tattoo before you put it on? Now wait a minute. I'm doing something here now. I was listening to a TV program the other night. I just happened to flip through the channel. They asked these ladies, they said, well, let me ask you, I noticed y'all don't have any tattoos. She said, would you put a bumper sticker on a Bentley? I said, no. I said, that's a revelation. You see, God made you royalty. I guarantee the Queen of England ain't putting no tattoo on nothing, because she is pure dignity. Come on now. Now, listen, I understand you might have it there, and that's fine. But and remember, Jesus, he died for us, and holes were in his hand and in his side, but he still got redeemed. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you're still redeemed, but understand that you now you're bought with a price. You just can't do anything with that body. Come on now. Folks, there are manifestations that I don't believe you can get, or revelation that you can't. I don't believe there are revelations, let me just say it like I want to say it, that you cannot even receive with a low self-esteem. You can't even receive it. You can't even receive it. Are you following what I'm saying? There, Lord have mercy. Can I say all I want to say? Oh, so y'all want me to say it now, and then you go home and talk about it. You want the word, huh? All right. Let's just go. I'll think about it. See, I got to have grown-up folks, so, because some folk ain't grown up yet. And you whoop something on a man, they, man, you just pass. And, it, you know, it's the truth, but, they, you know, you can't give truth all at once. You got to wait till folk open their spiritual eyes and stop acting crazy. And now, without revelation, there can be no restoration. And I'm saying that God wants to restore everything that Satan stole in your life. And he's going to gonna do it. And watch this. Going to do it this year. I said the best is yet to come. He's going to do it this year. I said this year. This is your season. That everything that's been frustrating you is now being put down. This is it. Vengeance and wreck. Oh, Lord have mercy. Ekebashata. All right. Now, let me show you this. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Yeah, I'm going to have you pretty soon so I can say all of it. I'm telling you, you get people, they want to hear it until you hear it. And you, he talking about me. And now you get offended. All right, look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. And look at verse 40. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that God has provided better things for us than he did for the folks who were before us. That some better things for us are now going to be provided. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what I mean by better things for us, I mean better revelations for us. He's going to provide some better opportunities for us. There are going to be some better manifestations for us. We're seeing now the glory of God. Adam lived in the glory, and you're seeing it now come in certain meetings where you're seeing all of a sudden the glory come in and people getting healed who weren't even prayed for. People losing weight while they're sitting right in that chair. Come on now. People, I'm talking about people looking in their pocket and money is found in there. I'm talking about these are meetings that are happening now. People finding gold right in their teeth. We had one of our evangelists that came here, and people came up and showed people gold was in their teeth, and they didn't put it in there. The glory came in. So what am I saying in the glory? The glory, everything is complete in the glory. Everything is done in the glory. It's like the glory breaks the bondages of time. The glory overrides time, overrides, and it restores everything. And the Holy Ghost is there on you now, that everything that's coming on you that's not good for you, the Holy Ghost is going to defend you and so forth. Yeah. All this, I'm talking about provide better thing. You know, I was telling them this morning that I have a cell phone, and it's an iPhone, and I'm not advertising nothing, but that's what it is. But it has all these features that they had dragon dictation, so I can just talk in it, and it'll write, and then I can just send it on to somebody's email. I mean, I'm just dictating now, and it just writes it down. Now, also it's got bump. And bump, you know, I can bump two of those iPhones together and the application will transfer from one of them to the other. I didn't say nothing. I just bumped them together. And I'm just saying, notice 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they didn't have that, did they? Why? Because they didn't have that kind of knowledge. I'm just saying it's the same in the spirit. They didn't have certain revelation knowledge. But in the last days, he's provided better things for us. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So now one of the better things that he has for us is that he's going to give us greater revelation. So we'll have greater access to the eternal realm for manifestation to come in this earth. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. So let's go to Ephesians now and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Amen. All right, praise God. Y'all gonna follow me on this? Now I'm going up another level. I said I'm going up another level. Now remember now, the more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. Say amen to that. Put something right there. I better show you something right now. Y'all don't mind if I just kind of go where I want to go, do you? Amen. Some people want 3 points, a poem, and something. But we don't have that here. Let's go over to 1 John and put something right there now. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let me know when you get to 1 John chapter 2. All right. You with me? Look at verse 9. Verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past and the true light is now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even to now. Wow. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now that person sitting next to you, if they're born again, that's your brother or sister. They might not look like you. I'll read verse 10 again. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of what? Stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is where? In darkness. Keep going. And walketh in darkness. Keep going. And knoweth not whether he goeth. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Isn't that something? How darkness can blind you. Now, what do they mean by darkness? Darkness is a world without light. What is light? Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of his word giveth light." So if God's word is not there and the revelation of his word is not there, there is no light. Now that person will stumble. What does it mean? Can be deceived. So here the Apostle Paul, he's got all this scripture. The Bible says, I think he was trained by Gamaliel, which is one of the greatest teachers of that time. The Bible even talks about, some of the historians talk about, Paul's mentality was above the normal. His IQ was high. Yeah. Not only that, he said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That means he was a strict one of the law. That means those Pharisees could quote scripture and they could quote them chapters at a time. Got it? So he had all of this. And he was going after Christians because he was going to take them, bring them back and testify against them. And some of them were put to death.
Amen.
Paul was doing that. But one day, on the Damascus Road, Lord have mercy, the Bible says there was a light that came from heaven that was brighter than the noonday sun. Now the noonday sun is supposed, this is Acts chapter 9 I'm talking from, the noonday sun is supposed to be the brightest light time of the day. Noonday. You get in the summertime and it's noon, you need to take a break out there. Say amen to that. Got it? But a light shined from heaven, brighter than that. I'm telling you, the revelation is that if you get revelation, it will obliterate information. It will be so strong until information makes no difference. Look at me. I'm at the company working for them, and they had been good to me, but God was calling me full-time ministry. I couldn't leave. I tried to leave, but the gates of hell were coming against me. But then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." Notice what that revelation does. It makes you solid. "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Nothing Satan got in his arsenal can stop a person with revelation. And so what happened? I got revelation out of meditating, out of Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. "No man that's left house, a mother, a father, sister, brother, land, or job for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive a hundredfold now." And I got revelation of that. And once that thing exploded inside of me and that light came, it was just like Paul. All of a sudden, I said, I call home, "Baby, I'm leaving this job." And she said, "Well, praise the Lord." I went and talked to my boss, said, "John, I'm leaving the job." Jumped up and closed the door. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing wrong. I said, I'm just leaving now." He said, "Well, wait a minute, hold on." And he said, "Did something wrong?" I said, "No, sir, I got a call on my life." "You got a what?" I said, "I got a call on my life." Then he said, "Take 2 weeks off," just like that, boom, "take 2 weeks off." And why? Because he thought I was working too hard. But what happened is I got the light. I got the light, see? And when you got the light, then folk can't understand who don't have the light. Because there's no explanation you can give them. Because as far as they can process is intellectual. This that I'm talking about is where Adam processed. It's revelational. And I'm telling you, when you get there, you're on the level with the Father. And the Father can talk to you face to face. Say amen to that. I saw it so clear, and not until recently somebody called me and said, "You know, when you left the company, you know, we all thought you were crazy." See, now, what am I saying? I'm led by something that has nothing to do with the thing they thought about. You follow what I'm saying? I'm operating on a higher level. And once you get revelation, you can have restoration. And so the next thing, I'm just saying, look at the woman with the issue of blood. Here she comes. She heard about Jesus. Where'd she hear about him from? I believe she heard about him from that demoniac who got set free, who wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus told him, "Go home to your folks and go tell them what great things I've done for you." And I believe he went back there and opened his big mouth and told them all about Jesus. "This man here can heal anything. He can deliver anybody. I don't care whether you come in walking, he'll deliver you and make you walk straight." And I'm telling you now, he can do it all. Now, what happened was, I believe she heard about it. Somebody can hear your testimony. And all of a sudden start thinking about it. And she said, "Well, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole." "Well, I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole." Notice she starts saying something. And all of a sudden the picture starts changing. And I know what happened. It happened to me the same way it happened to her. Boom, something went off and she's, "Whoa, all. She jumped up out of that house, got her Sunday go-to-meeting hat put on her head. I'm going to see the man of God. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying she was not supposed to be out, because the Bible specifically said in the scriptures in the Old Testament, if she had an issue of blood and she was caught outside, she could be stoned. But she didn't see that. The light from heaven had blinded her eyes. It had overwritten anything anybody had said in the natural. Say amen to that. The enemy does not want you to spend time with God and get revelation knowledge. He wants you to just do a little quick reading. This time, when you go to the Bible for your devotion, stop and say, Father, I pray revelation knowledge will come to me now. And open that Bible and start seeing things that you ain't never seen before in your life. Start opening and reading to, oh my goodness. And pretty soon you're going to see yourself in there. You're going to say, that's mine right there. Now I know that's mine right there. That's mine. Say amen to this. Now my point to you is God wants to restore some things to us, but the world is walking in darkness. That's what it says in Psalm 82. If you only have intellect, you're in darkness. You're only in intellect. Now you can't tell nobody intellectual that, because they think they know more than you. But the Bible says he's going to give to you mysteries. And mysteries are things beyond human comprehension. So what do they teach him in university? That man came from an ape, a monkey, a rhesus monkey. And here, but that's not true. We know where man came from. Say amen to this. Now, you gotta just receive what I'm saying, because if you don't receive it, you think this is all there is, just what you can see and figure out with your natural mind. But don't you believe that? God has got something far beyond with the way we've been operating, because we only been operating based on what we could see with our natural eyes. And let me tell you, that is not good enough to whip the devil. Amen. You're going to have some spiritual sight. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, what is God doing? He's taking you back up to the atmosphere of heaven. He's taking you there. Why? Because you're going to need it in these last days. This system in these last days is coming loose. It really is. People are going to need help like never before. And God has saved the best to last. Here's what's happening in the last days. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can do what you want with it. The world is getting darker, and the church is getting lighter. But let me tell you this. Whoever's not saved is going to experience some of the worst times in their life. And the church is going to experience the best times. Folks, when I was a kid looking at television, they did not have a weather channel. They got one today because of the weather. That the whole earth is groaning. Because, and next thing you know, you're on a cruise ship, and the next thing you know, waves come all the way up to the top and kill somebody. My God. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm saying I got the angels in camp around by me. Is this making sense to you? See, you gotta watch it now, because the enemy, he tries to seed your mind. And somebody said, I'm going to repeat that. You don't mind me saying this. Can I say this?
Sure.
Said the problem with the black man, the atrocity, was not that this particular person, they lynched him or murdered black folks or whatever. That wasn't the problem. The real atrocity was to seed this man's thinking with self-hate. That was a real atrocity. Now, hold it now. Remember, you can't hate nobody. Because if you do, you get no revelation. Y'all mind if I talk? And when sometimes I come and I speak truth, people don't want to hear it. And they don't want to hear it because of how their minds have been seated. Because you're trying to give them something to get them out of where they are. I mean, it don't make sense for all us to be down and start killing each other. What sense does that make? What sense does that make? It makes sense when you self-hate. When you hate yourself, you cannot love me. You cannot love me. No way you try, you cannot love me. And hatred is like cancer. It spreads. You might hate your father that left you at one time, but if you keep hating him, you're going to soon hate somebody else. Because it's going to spread, all right. I'm laying something on you right now. Yeah, self-hate and self-doubt, they got seated with it. Hate themselves. Hate them. You can't dog yourself like that without hating yourself. In the military, we call it shooting yourself in the foot. Oh, no, no. You got to get rid of that. And the only thing you can lay in its place is love. So you're going to have to love me. You're going to have to love me. You're going to have to get over hating yourself so you can compliment somebody else. Because can I talk here? Can I speak here now? You cannot compliment somebody else if you hate yourself. And most folk, especially black folk, hate themselves. You hate the way you look, you hate the way you talk, you hate everything. And you got to get over that. Because God said something about you. He said you are royalty. He said you're his child. He said you are forgiven. He said you are smart. He said you have kingly assets. You are an ambassador. And man, when I had to get over the fact that I wasn't tall as everybody else. I had to get over it. I had me in them Sammy Davis shoes and I was walking. This friend of mine said, man, I sure am glad you got out of them shoes. I said, why? He said, I thought you were going to fall off of there and break your neck. I had to get over it, man. Get over it. Get over it, man. Is God trying to make you a millionaire, a multi-billionaire, and you mad at somebody? You can't rise with God hating folk and mad at folk. You got to know that vengeance belongs to God, and he will recompense you. Everything that was done against you, God will repay you. Ain't no man gonna repay you. Say amen to that. I had to get over it, folks. I was a mean black man. But I had to get over it. Now I know who the culprit is. It's the devil himself. The enemy has done this. He'll use anybody that's walking in darkness. And if they don't have revelation, they'll be in darkness. And Apostle Paul was a good example. He was killing Christians. Why? He had all this scripture, all this head knowledge, but he had no revelation. And we've done things wrong because we had no revelation. Well, when you find out you did something wrong, repent. Say amen to that. Right where you are, stop everything. Lord, I repent. I missed it, Lord. The devil is good for throwing a rock and hiding his hand. Have you pointed at somebody? That's what the enemy does. He always raises up somebody that's the object of whatever you're going through. But he's behind it all. Hitler couldn't have done nothing if it wasn't for the devil in it. Say amen to this. Boy, I didn't mean to say all of this tonight, but it's coming up. Somebody's pulling this out of me. Oh, yeah, God wants to take you somewhere. But he's going to take you through a narrow way. Everything that you loading up with that ain't of God, you're going to have to unload. Because you can't get through this door with hate. You can't get through this door with bitterness. You can't get through this door with jealousy. You can't get through this door with envy. You can't get through this door with strife. You're going to have to get out of it. You're going to have to make a declaration. Ain't no more strife in my house, no more. And as soon as you say that, the devil going to try you. Your husband or your wife going to say, I told you to buy me. Say, listen, you did tell me, and I love you, and praise God. Next time, glory to Jesus. We can get it. We get it right now. Ha, blah, 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 blah. I mean, something. The moment I tell you, the devil going to try you, because he knows that the button he's been pushing that has kept you where you are, and you supposed to be a millionaire by now. You supposed to have that building bought by now. You supposed to have them apartment building, that real estate deal, that new business, that company, that nursery. You supposed to have it by now, but the enemy's been ripping. He's been stealing from the saint, and the amount that he's stolen from the church is enormous. And it's coming all back. I'm telling you, if I got to do all I got to do to get it, we're going to get it back. Say, I want my stuff back. Now, y'all don't mind me being transparent for just a moment, do you? I'm teaching now. I'm mentoring now, because I'm facing some things some people don't face, and sometimes we don't talk about from the pulpit. But pull the covers off that thing. Don't let that devil hide anywhere. Say amen to that, boy. Our kids, you know, our kids, if they see we real, they get real. They get real. But they've seen a lot of things that are not real. We're saying one thing, we're doing something else. No, let's get real. Nobody can stop you in this earth because of you a believer but you. Nobody can keep you from reaching your destiny as a believer but you. Because if God be for you, there ain't a person, a man, a system that can stand against. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, certain people don't want to hear this. I don't care. You got a slave mentality and you won't be a slave the rest of your life, and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. But I'm going to preach this right here. If you don't think it's what for you, then you just make this your last visit. You do what you want to do. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to set you free. The devil is a liar and his mother-in-law. Folks, we got people in here that as soon as they come up, we get prayer for them because they've been incarcerated and they have problems and said, hey, I've been trying to get a job, can't get a job. And we pray for them within 24 hours, so forth, they get a job. I'm just saying that's the kind of power we want in here. But it can't come in here if we pretending. We got to be real, man. We got to face this thing just like it is. Say amen to that. Because the enemy had hoodwinked all of us. Told us we're something that we weren't. Tried to make us do something that we shouldn't. Say amen to that. We've made mistakes and so forth. But Jesus... I said, Jesus, he came for every person that made a mistake, every person with low self-esteem, every person that hates themselves, every person with no hope, every person who has been beat down. Jesus came, and he came to lift you up. He's going to give you the gospel and make you somebody when you are a nobody. And I'm glad about it, because he put me on top. No man did this. No man gave me the money. No man came to my aid. No man. I
I was down and out, and Jesus came and said, trust in me with all of your heart, and I will put you on top. And he did. Now, what he did for Bill Winston, he'll do for you. But listen, there are people that don't want to go nowhere. I said Lot didn't want to go nowhere. And he was coming, and the people are blood suckers. They'll suck your blood and just they hitchhiking. They're just going with you because you happen to be going somewhere. At some point, you're going to have to tell them, homegirl, homeboy, I love you, but I got to go. I've got to do something for God, and I'll pick you up on the rebound. I'll get you when I'm coming back. Let me get my multi-million, and then I'll buy you a house. Let me get this cell thing straightened up, and then I'll get you where you're supposed to be. Say amen to that. What got into me here? I must be going to Africa. Hallelujah. All right, the last thing. Now, woo-wee. Yeah, don't be concerned. Because if people don't want to follow Jesus, some turn back. There are people who only want to go so far. They just want a little fire insurance to miss hell when they die, but they don't want to go any further. You are going all the way. You're going all the way. We okay? Yeah. All right. Now, you can see what other folk can't see. And because you can see what they can't see, you can endure what other people cannot endure. Watch this. And you're going to end up getting somewhere that other folk cannot go. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Okay. Let's take a moment now. You know, I wish this place wasn't public. You know, I wish it was private. Because I don't like folks to walk while I'm preaching. You know what I mean? It's not me. It's God. I just don't like to disrespect him. I just don't like to disrespect him. But thank God he's long-suffering. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. I want to pray with you right now. So if this is you, and you say, Pastor Winston, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to pray with you right now. So if you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair and come up here and stand with me right now. Come up, stand with me right now.